Hey, drama listeners, we want to tell you about this literally amazing online platform called Broadway Plus.
We mention it all the time.
All the time.
You know Nathaniel, who came on our show back in November. He's the founder. And you know all of our guests, the majority of them are part of Broadway Plus.
Yeah, if you're not on Broadway Plus, you're only getting half the story.
Especially now, without theater, we need something like Broadway Plus, which will connect you to all your favorite Broadway stars beyond interviews on drama, of course. You'll get virtual experiences like meet and greets, concerts, and workshops. The list goes on, and it is very much worth the investment.
But I have a dose of drama.
Oh?
Yes. Okay, so it's fun. It's a fun one. Broadway Plus is offering drama listeners 1 month for free off of their group event subscription service called Plus Pass, which Nathaniel actually broke the news when he came on our pod.
Oh, that was sizzling
tea. That was exclusive.
At the time, yeah.
Page six. Anyway, so Plus Pass gives you access to exclusive cast reunions and concerts that happen weekly. You can check out their upcoming events and use the code
DRAMAPOD
at BroadwayPlus.com/PlusPass for your first month free.
I know we will see you there.
Drama.
Now, I know you were expecting the theme song to come and start right when you pressed play on this episode, but I am here by myself to tell you a little bit about Patreon-ama, which is our bonus content platform on patreon.com/thedramapodcast. Basically, for $5 a month, you get exclusive access to bonus episodes, bonus interviews, videos of episodes, including the interview with Anthony Lee Medina, which you're going to listen to in moments. We also have last week's episode with Constantine Rasulli, Derek Klena, Celia Rose Gooding, Jackie Cox, a throwback episode with George Salazar. The list goes on. You can be added to our close friends on Instagram. We are constantly spilling tea and just being plain cracked, honestly. So why don't you go ahead, look at our Patreon website, patreon.com/thedramapodcast. You can look, but you can't touch until you subscribe for $5 a month. And Connor and I will see you there. All right, now on with the show.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They opt to know.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City
and
the world. I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. I am feeling so good today, Connor.
I know you are. I can tell. I can always tell.
Is that a read? Is that a read?
No, but famously, you know, pre-pandemic, you would always get so like locked up, nervous before we would record literally anything. Even if it was just the two of us in the apartment, you would be freaked out. But you seem at ease and calm today.
I'm grown. I've lowered my doses of antidepressants. All is well.
Oh my God.
You know, we're almost a year into this thing, Connor, this whole pandemic scenario.
I know. What a nightmare. Okay. So you told me you had some like pre-dose of drama pop culture recommendations you wanted to share.
I do. Because, you know, there's this whole craze going on. You know, everyone's starting a podcast right now. And, if you know, starting a theater podcast, or maybe it's a true crime podcast. I love both. So I'm going to talk about some of the true crime finds that I've been really getting into, which actually I'm realizing now ties into our guest today, who's on a true crime TV series, or will be. It's coming.
Ooh.
Upcoming. So I just finished The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. It's on Netflix. It is a mess. It is crazy. I think that it's like, might be like the blueprint for what season 4 or 5 of American Horror Story was, the hotel series.
The Gaga season.
That season, yes. It's like this crazy hotel in downtown LA on Skid Row, where it's framed around the story about this girl named Elisa Lamb who disappears. She's last seen in an elevator and she's never seen leaving the building.
Oh my God.
It is spooky. She's acting like wild in the elevator. There's all these conspiracy theories. It is so good. And it actually ends on a really nice note about mental illness and like mental health awareness, which is like timely as hell.
That's nice. Wow.
Yeah. And then, of course, you can't watch that without watching The Night Stalker first, which they tie together in a way. I don't know. I think our guest has seen The Night Stalker. It is absolutely disgusting. The stories about what this monster did to people in the California area. He would, after doing some of his terrible crimes, would then go and hide out at the Cecil Hotel. So it's like all tied together in a way.
Oh, wow.
But don't watch Cecil Hotel first, because he's like fully revealed who it is.
Okay.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a true crime guy. I can watch fictional crime and fictional horror, but if it feels real, I cannot sleep at night. Oh my God. The last week, I was like, I had insomnia, and I kept thinking about this one scene from Hereditary, which came out years ago.
Kind of rewatched that forever ago.
I know, but it's the scene towards the beginning when, after Toni Collette's mom is dead, she's like packing up a room, and she turns off the light, and all of a sudden, oh my God, I literally just got full body chills thinking about it. I cannot, but she sees like an old woman in the corner.
Yeah.
And then she turns the light on and she's gone. And then she turns it off. Oh my God.
That reminds me of our late grandmother's like memorial service. She was, you know, famously a psychic. One of her psychic friends approached us and said that she saw our grandmother standing in the corner watching the entire memorial for her, even though she was, you know, dead and gone.
This is chilling.
I know. Let's get into our guest today, because we will get into true crime. We will get into all of the things, but I need to just say, we have someone who the roots run deep with this person.
They do.
One of the people who was part of our Ring of Keys experience.
100,000% Dylan. And this podcast is what, 10, 11, 12 years in the making? We'll get down to the math of it once we actually figure it out. But I'm gagged, because you're right. This is a key moment in our lives here.
I'm going to bring him in.
Please do.
Our guest today has been blowing us all away for years, having most recently finished his run as John Lawrence / Philip Hamilton in the Broadway production of the Tony-winning smash Hamilton. History has seemingly always had its eyes on our guest, and long before being in the biggest show on Broadway, he traveled the country with the first national tour of, you guessed it, Spring Awakening, as Otto at only 19 years old. That's right, he's family. His stage career has included playing Usnavi in the Theater Under the Stars production of In the Heights, and young Sal in the Public's The Cape Man at the Delacorte. You'll surely recognize our guest from television as Donovan on The Island, the CW's The Carrie Diaries, CBS's Blue Bloods, HBO's High Maintenance, and Eduardo in the Golden Globe-nominated Stars series Flesh and Bone, the upcoming second season of the Octavia Spencer-led series Truth Be Told will also feature our incredible guest. Film credits include features in The King of Staten Island and The First Purge. I'm gagged. He is an extraordinary actor, vocalist, and his star only continues to rise. Please welcome to Drama, Anthony Lee Medina!
Hi, guys. That is quite an intro. I will take that.
Oh, my
that.
Goodness. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, my God. Of course. My favorite.
Stop. We need to talk about how this came to be. And of course, we connected online after years of being fans of yours, but you told us you remembered us, which is horrifying upon first glance.
I think Ben Moss did one of your interviews. He had reposted you guys, and I caught it, and I was like, wait a minute, I remember these people. And honestly, like, there is a stage door picture in my head where both of your heads are on opposite sides of mine, and we're like, real happy and cheery.
It absolutely exists.
And like we did with Ben, we will send that to you as well. Just for your own memory.
Think, correct me if I'm wrong. I might be wrong. Did you guys give me a copy of that picture? Did you guys do that?
We might have given you a copy, or we might have mailed it to you and like wrote it.
Okay. I was like, I feel like at some point that was like at my station, like just like, here's two people that you met one time that like you, so here you go.
Yeah. Yes, we were obsessed. I think we talked about this with Ben, but like, we saw so much of ourselves, like, because, you know, we were young and like wanted to be actors, and it was like, these people are like close in age to us, and they're on tour doing this, the best musical ever, you know,
the best. We were obsessed. Oh my God. Yeah, we were only like 3 or 4 years younger than you, which is like horrifying in retrospect.
And well, horrifying, like, imagine, like, 19 years old, you should not be touring the country. That is crazy.
Were you the youngest? Ben was fresh out of high school too, right?
Yeah. Ben and I think we're the same. No, he's a year younger than me. Strangely enough, I grew up knowing Ben Moss. Like, the name Ben Moss is like, it's from my name. He's from Westchester County. So I grew up hearing Ben all the time. And I went to his prom with a girl, which is so random.
Oh my God.
Did Ben win prom king?
I honestly would not be surprised. That is the most charming human I've ever met in my life.
I know. Oh my God.
So sweet.
Kennedy smile.
Uh-huh. Truly. Oh my God. That is so funny. So did you graduated high school, and then it was like a year later you ended up on Spring Awakening?
Yeah. So I auditioned for it in like the last quarter. That's what you did in high school, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I auditioned for it the last quarter of my senior year, and then when I was at Pace, they called me in, and I did, like, I don't know how many auditions, and then that is the longest, most wild process I've ever been a part of. That was, like, I think it was, like, 16, 17 auditions, and it was, like, once a week, you were going in and singing the same stuff over and over again, and they were filming us because they were considering making it into a reality show, which was nuts.
This is breaking news. I did not know that.
This is, like, guilty ones tea.
Oh, look, the guilty ones. Wow. Yeah.
Babe, listen, we should just rename this podcast The Guilty Huns, because that is, like, what we talk about Spring Awakening all the damn time.
Oh, shit.
That is beautiful and ridiculous. At the end of the day, I'm like, really? That show is still, like, that is piling through in my life right now. Yeah, they were trying to film us. Thank the Lord for Tom Hulce, Academy Award winner Tom Hulce, for being like, no, this footage cannot be used, because our lives would have been destroyed.
Oh, like, yeah.
Imagine, like, the footage of Christy Altomare and Andy Mientis and me and, like, Sarah Hunt screaming and running through the streets at 19, wasted illegally. Like, we did not need that on television.
You know, that is, it's so funny you say these names, and it's like these people who you all have gone on to do such great things too.
Yo, that cast, do you know Robbie Hager?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He joined the tour at some point too. He was really adamant when I joined the show that he was like, I think it was Michael Mayer said he only wanted to work with people that would be stars. And like at 19, who the fuck knows what's going on?
Yeah.
But specifically that cast, I mean, the Broadway, like, you got Skylar Astin, you got Lea Michele, all these mm-hmm. big names from Broadway, but a tour cast isn't supposed to pop off. And we, for the most part, popped off. Like, everybody kind of is doing something.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's so crazy to think about. Oh, my God. So when you guys came to Cleveland, was that in 2008 or 2009? Do you remember? 2009, I think.
2009.
Yeah, it was 2009 because because 2008 was like the short portion of our tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dylan and I would sit on stage and we would sit like across from each other.
Yes, I remember that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there were certain seats that you could have certain experiences. If you wanted to see Melchior's ass, you had to sit in one seat. If you wanted to sit next to Anthony and Lee Medina, you had to be in like BB 11 or 12 or whatever.
You better.
Come on, seating chart.
You could hear the harmonies. Like, you could hear specific harmonies to songs.
And then if you were like
a treat
by those bars by the drummer, we would all fuck with you. We would like poke you in the back and like, yeah, we.
I was never in the back. I was never in those.
Yeah. I never had the pleasure.
I think those are also because no one wants to sit by the drummer because it's so loud. But like, you get the benefit of all of us singing into your ear and like caressing you if we recognize you a little bit. Uh-huh. Well, like, you're not going to be creeped out. We're going to be good.
Yeah. There was the famous guilty one, Frances, who she attended like hundreds of performances.
Wait, and she was like the Broadway. She was at Broadway too all the time.
Yes. She was featured in the documentary about Kyle Riabko. Like, she was like heavily featured in that.
There's a documentary about Kyle Riabko?
Yeah. It was like about him making the journey to Broadway.
Really? Was it like a Canadian only?
It might have been. Listen, we need to delete everything I've said so far because I'm reaching into the annals of my brain and I am so scared of myself.
You telling me? Wait, for him like making his way to Broadway for Spring Awakening or for Hair? Wow, he's in a lot of musicals, actually.
I know. Yeah, I think it was just Spring Awakening.
Okay, I need to watch that. Like,
yeah, it was like we had to like
such a random thing.
That's so random.
God, I had such a crush on him.
It's so funny when joining a show with him, like when you get to know someone, like it kind of disappears, like your experience
of
your crush, whatever. I love Kyle. We have not spoken probably in, I think I saw him maybe like 6-7 years ago at a bar, mm-hmm. but he is the most bizarre human I've ever met in my life. And it is amazing. Like a walking Jim Carrey reincarnation, Robin Williams reincarnation. He is bizarro, but in the best way. I really loved him.
Oh my God, I love it.
So crazy. What was your favorite part about doing Spring Awakening on tour?
To be honest with you, like that was the weirdest experience of anything in my entire life. I was 19. I was not like fully comfortable with my sexuality yet. I was dating girls on tour, which was like random girls I'd pick up in cities. Like I was, I don't know.
Playa, playa.
playa. but then also dating boys at the same time, and also like feeling like the ugly duckling of the cast. So that was a weird, oh yeah. I mean, like I was 19. They, Matching Lodecker refused to cut his hair the way that Georg usually has his haircut. So I got that haircut. So I became the awkward haired Latin boy. And every city we went to, people would look at me like I was psycho on the street. I always wore a hat. I always had acne. And I was the only person besides Chase at the time that was like even talking about being gay. Everybody else was like straight or like, well, they weren't straight. They were figuring it out.
Yeah.
So that tour is so weird. I mean, I guess the best part is like, I still talk to most of those people. Like, Kimiko is still like, I talk to her every day. I still talk to Marcus Walls every day. Christy is, we catch up with each other maybe once every 3 months, and it's like a 4-hour phone call that does not have a reason to end. It just like, we're like, okay, it's time. We shouldn't be talking anymore. Mm-hmm. But that show is, there's something to be said about most of us ended up with therapists afterwards. It is a crazy experience. Yeah. But beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it was also like, it was the hottest show. Like everyone was curious about it. It was like in 90210, like everyone was talking about it. And obviously Glee was becoming such a hit at the time that everyone knew it in some way. And then it continued to reinvent itself. I mean, there was the revival. It was then on that show. God, that show with Josh Radnor a few years ago.
Rise.
Yeah.
Rise. Yeah. Oh, with Sean Grandillo. Grandillo.
Yeah. I think it's Grandillo.
Grandillo? I should know that. I've definitely like had a meal or two with him, so I should probably know his last name. But yeah, I mean, that Spring Awakening is, I mean, it's a beautiful piece of theater. And like, I can honestly say like being the actual portion of me being on stage was amazing. It was just like a bunch of kids shouldn't be on tour without like a proper, because we were legal adults, but we were kids. And there was like a strong line in the sand of who was over the age of 24, 25, and they hung out with each other and the rest of us hung out separately. And I'm like, let me spill some tea. But like that stage manager, like really tried to like destroy us. Like he made our jobs harder and he messed with our experience in a way that like was not what we signed up for, or at least we didn't know what we were signing up for. And then also, I don't know how much you know about that process, but someone got fired like the first week of rehearsals. Like he was cast and we were all part of the same like we did like a casting day where they put us on stage with the Broadway cast. We had to hold each other's hands and sing Purple Summer. I was like holding Jen Damiano's hand and we're just like singing Purple Summer, and I know her, we grew up together, but I was like, what the fuck is this? And then like a week later they were cast and then they were fired, and that was how our process started. So it was like,
and that's who Matt Shingledecker replaced.
Yes.
I knew that he was like a last minute addition to the tour. I remember that was like known. Yeah.
Yeah. It was an actor who's working now. I mean, he's in a show, so he's doing his thing. Yeah. He's freakishly talented. They just decided like at the last second he wasn't the one. But when you're 19 years old and suddenly someone gets the chop in front of you, all of us spent like months fearing for it. Like Christina Lobato, I have a mental image of Christina Lobato crying because she's so afraid that her job is going to be lost. Meanwhile, that bitch is so talented.
I know.
But like we were on our toes. We spent like the first chunk of that tour on our toes. And then because we were on our toes, everyone was kind of just scared to be like bad at our job.
Mm.
And then a year later, there was a new cast and like the entire experience changed.
Wow.
Yeah. Spring Breaking is...
I'm so sorry about that sort of like mind games. And I don't know your experience, but abuse, it seems, that kind of came, like whether it was mentally or whatever, but that is, especially to be so young. And I mean, I feel like I'm so thin skinned. It would have scared me away from the business.
It definitely made us thick skinned. I mean, there was, I remember a day where we were in San Diego. It was like our first stop. We were playing this game in a circle. I'm not going to say who said this to me, but in a circle, everyone was like, who's going to leave the business? It was like a game of like, who is this? Who is this? Who's going to be the first person to have sex on tour? Who's going to be the first person to? And someone said, who's going to be the first person to leave the business? And I got voted. And it was like, that was the way this process started. And then we had a stage manager who made us feel really insignificant to the process. I got told many times that it was like, well, if you don't do what I say, just so you know, there's many people that want this job.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So like, it's so funny. Also, the person that said that to me left the business. We're fine now. We're totally fine. We had like a conversation. Like I definitely therapized that with my
therapist. Yeah.
But like he left the business and apologized to me about that experience. He doesn't even remember it. Or he didn't remember it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, try spending a year questioning everything about yourself while someone else is telling you you're going to get fired.
Oh my God.
And like, yeah, it was, oh God, it was a crazy time, but.
Sounds like high school and like kind of like a catty environment at times too.
But with high stakes, right? Like.
That's the thing.
You're employed. You have what you dream of, this career in front of you, and everything feels like the hugest deal in the world because in a way it kind of could be. So man, that sounds like fucked up. I'm so sorry.
At the end of the day, I got a fucking phenomenal credit, and also like I toured the country for 2 years. So like you kind of gotta give it a trade off. Like sure, and also like all the people that I have problems with don't exist in my world. And I think that stage manager doesn't work in the business anymore. So worked out for me.
so year two brought in like Ben Fankhauser, Taylor Trench, like more people who continued to like change the game. So did you do the full tour?
Yeah, I did the full tour.
Oh my goodness. Before it went non-equity.
So with me and then George took the non-equity, George Salazar, who I fucking love.
We had him on the podcast.
Yeah, he was on the podcast.
I saw. Yeah. George felt like, oh, they're giving me to another Latin boy. Like, this has become a Latin role. I'm so excited. Uh-huh. And George is, like, freakishly talented. And now, like, George Salazar, Tony nominee? Is he a Tony nominee?
Should have been,
right? But when Ben joined, Ben kind of saved my... Ben Fankhauser and... Well, really, Ben. I love Taylor. I love Kayla. Like, all the new people, really, I hung out with a lot. But Ben Fankhauser, I mean, it was like suddenly my brother joined the tour. It was immediately we were best friends. Immediately we were hanging out all the time. It was like me, Freddie, Marcus, Freddie Hall, Marcus Walls, Kamiko, and Ben. That was like our crew. And we spent all of our time together and did a lot of crazy things together. Yeah.
That is so fun. I love that. So when you finished the tour, what came next? Did you ever return to Pace?
I tried to return to Pace. The teacher, the head of the program, like, let me just shade all these people that deserve
the
to be shaded.
The one who's like currently like under fire or like had to like
Zachary.
Okay.
I was messaging her asking her to come back to school, but enough people. I was the first. So at Pace, I was the first person to book like a notable job. There was like a girl that booked Ring of Fire, and then there was like a non-equity Hairspray tour. And I was the first like equity job. So they treated me really crazy when I got the job. I spent a year like doing extra classes and all this stuff. But then I left for the tour and came back and they'd already gotten all these equity members and all these SAG members to join the school. So I was unnecessary and my emails were not responded to. And I was like, fine. And now with the whole, the drama at Pace, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't go back. They were horribly destructive to people. Do you like follow that Instagram page?
Yes.
I've seen it. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And I haven't listened to all of them, but the ones I listened to, I'm like, this is my experience. My first day I was told to learn all the Spanish accents, because that's the only jobs I would play. I need to learn to dance to be in West Side Story. And in my audition, they kept saying, you're going to be in the Heights. You need to go be in the Heights. These things are very notably true, but when my first job was a German boy in a rock musical, the way I sat in that office and was like, bitch, I guess I don't need a Spanish accent. But yeah, that schooling process was wild. I didn't go back to Pace. I got back to New York and kind of, I moved in with Marcus.
Was he the drummer?
Yeah, the drummer.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He's a drummer. He's a photographer. He's played on every show you've ever wanted to see.
Like, I always see his name. And he does like a lot of cabaret and concerts and stuff like that too. I always see his name and I'm always like, that is him. It's him.
Yep. Yeah. He's around. He's always around, which is amazing. I moved back into New York and then I was like the full like actor experience. I was a cater waiter. I was a babysitter. I did all the the random things that you do. I was an apartment painter. I was a photographer's assistant. I worked a lot. It sucked.
Oh my God. Well, before we get into the rest of your career, we just jumped right into this.
I was too excited.
I know. We need to ask you just how you're doing in this present moment. Are you well?
Oh, I'm well. I hate people that say that they're well during all of this, but I'm well. I got lucky. Terrence and I are together, and Terrence got offered Hamilton in LA right before the pandemic started. So we moved out to LA, and 2 weeks later I was locked down. And my experience was I was locked down. Terrence's best friend is Adam Lambert. They were in Wicked together. So we lived with Adam Lambert for 4 months. Which is literally the gag of all gags.
That is such a gag.
Anthony,
what did Gottmik say on Untucked or whatever this week? She was like, Gagatrintra or something.
Gagatronda.
Also, they're all friends at Gottmik. It's during the Hamilton time, I was like, this is the most famous experience I'm going to have. And then I just was having drinks with Adam, in his house. And he's telling me his new conspiracy theory. I'm like, okay, what is happening?
I am so shaken by all. What is your life?
What is? I don't know. I was there for 4 months, and then we got our apartment, and we've been kind of just here since. And I'm well. I had a job. I'm finishing up a job right now. I'm recording novels, doing random things I didn't know I did that I'm suddenly doing. I don't know.
You're making it happen.
Staying booked. Yeah. Okay. So the job is/was, truth be told, on Apple TV Plus, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't watch the first season yet, but now that I know you're going to be on.
We actually just got Apple TV.
We just got it. Oh, yeah. Wow. I got a new iPhone and it was here's 1 year free of Apple TV Plus. So I was oh my God, let's do it. And I mean, I love Octavia. She is the moment.
Octavia is everything. I saw the first season. It's not as much as I'm going to tell you to watch the first season, second season is completely different experience. They're kind of standalone seasons with just Octavia's character and a few other characters still continuing in the world.
Okay, cool.
But it's crazy. I mean, I auditioned for this thing not knowing what the fuck it was. I'd never heard of it. I didn't know Octavia was in it. I sent in a tape where I was this very gay assistant. And I was look, this is what you need to understand. This is the following. And did nonsense. And then they sent me another side and they were can you do this scene? And it was me talking to this emotional scene. I was what the fuck is this? Sent it in and they were we need this in 6 hours. I was y'all, I got a life. There's no way. I did it, sent it out. And then the next day they were you're booked. I was what is this?
You're still wondering at this point.
I'm honestly still wondering. No, honestly, it's the craziest. So my character, I do all my stuff with Kate Hudson. And I'm doing 4 episodes of just me and Kate Hudson going at it, which is really fun.
You're her assistant?
I'm her assistant.
A dream Connor has often had.
It's all happening, Anthony. It's all happening. I'm gagged. Is she nice? Yeah.
I didn't hear a lot of things about her. Terrence and Adam had actually met her and said beautiful things about her. But I'd also heard other things about her. And so I kind of just went into set and was let me just do my thing. And first off, day one, they had to give her a handheld mic for something. And she starts belting out this song. And I was you sing? I had no idea she sang.
Oh, she was on Glee.
Yes, because she went toe-to-toe with Ms. Leah Michelle on Glee.
I did not know she was on Glee.
I heard they didn't get along. But anyway.
I wouldn't be surprised there.
Who would at this point? But no, in season three or four of Glee, I think it's season four.
It was four.
The Rachel Berry character, Leah Michelle, graduates and goes to a performing arts school in New York. And Kate Hudson plays her dance teacher. They sing Americano by Lady Gaga. It's crazy. I heard they did not get along.
Yeah, it's a mashup, isn't it? With Be Italian from 9.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right, Dylan. Anyway, you got to check it
out. This is gagging me. I know. I've never watched Glee. I have never watched Glee. I've seen one episode. Well, Spring Awakening, we all got an audition. The entire cast was here, come to LA. We were in San Diego. Come to LA on your day off. Come audition for Glee. And I was I'm not. I don't want to take a 2-hour, whatever the fuck it is, to get to an audition. No thanks. But because of that, I never watched it. I always felt kind of slighted by it. And Now Adam, I'm like, fuck. And Terrence was in it too. He's a dancer in it.
And you know, Adam, I think, interacts with Kate Hudson's character at one point. They might have an episode. Okay.
I think he does. Because I think that's why they actually originally met.
Gotcha.
Okay. But Kate is, first off, an education on how to be a badass on set. Like, she teaches, she doesn't teach it consciously. She just kind of like, if something doesn't make sense, she's just like, no, that doesn't make any sense. Let's fix this. Let me know when it's done. I'm like, go off, but also friendly and down to goof around. We're like doing like time steps in a corner and then like, you'll see.
Oh my God. I cannot wait.
It's so funny because on like, we would literally be doing these really intense scenes and then it would end and we'd be like singing show tunes. It was such a bizarre, I've never had that experience. It was, yeah. And I have my last days on Friday, so.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. You guys caught me in the middle.
Oh my God. How cool.
I know. Well, thanks for doing this with us. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Of course.
That's going to be great. I can't wait. I think it's her first series regular on a TV show like ever.
She is the Penny Lane. She's an Academy Award nominee too.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Almost Famous. Yeah.
That's right.
That also, like, I come home from working with her and then that appears like, as like, you should watch this every day now. I'm like, I don't need to. I'm with it every single second of my life.
They're listening. Your TV and things.
Oh my God. I'm gagged. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we ask all of our guests this question and it's about the origins. We call it a Ring of Keys moment inspired by Fun Home. It's that moment of recognition when you realized that you wanted to be involved in the performing arts in some way. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment, Anthony?
I totally did. I had been doing theater. It wasn't that I hadn't been doing it at that point. I was just like, it was kind of second nature or not second nature, but something that was, it wasn't important to me. I was just doing it because I was a singer. And I was acting all the time at my house. But a friend of mine, it was her 16th or 17th birthday. She got us all tickets to see Wicked. It was my first time seeing, I'd seen a Broadway show. I saw Oklahoma, but I didn't actually see it. I think I fell asleep like middle of act one and woke up the end of the show. But it was Shoshana Bean as Elphaba and Megan Hilty as Glinda. Mm. And like the whole show, I was gagged, but then Defying Gravity started and she started riffing and I'd never heard anyone riff. I didn't know people could do that in musical theater. And I was like, oh, I think I need to do this. And then For Good started happening and it's me and like six blonde white females and I am the one hysterically crying. And I was like, oh, if this can do this to me, I got to do this too. Like I got to experience this more. So yeah, that's my Ring of Keys. I wrote my college essay about Shoshana Bean. I like got into Pace literally being like, this is the reinvention of musical theater on Broadway. Boom.
I'm gagged.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. We met, I started to cry. I was doing Hamilton and I was walking up the stairs between shows and Brian Terrell Clark was hugging someone. And he's like, where are you going? And I was like, I'm going to go eat, bye. And like, I was like trying to get away from him. I was like, I'm not trying to talk to nobody. He's like, hold on. And he's like, I want you to meet somebody. He like turned her around. And I literally, I'm talking like full Thai food in my hand, just like bawling. I was like, you made everything happen. I'm here because of you. Now we're like, I've like got her number. We've like Instagram DM'd. I'm like, this is.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
I'm about to single white female your life, Anthony, because I want to I'm like truly. Or as they call it, the roommate. That was the remake with
with Leighton Meester.
Oh yeah, and Mika
I did not
Kelly,
see right? that.
Yeah.
Oh no, yeah, don't. She like wants her like roommate's life, and so she like starts to dress like her and like dyes her hair to be like her. And
I would love to see a version of you dressed and dyed your hair like me. Just like this facial hair.
I know. Well, I could kind of do it if I were to get rid of the sides.
Should I grow a mustache?
Connor, no.
I love it.
Do you think I could do like what Dylan has? Is he over here or there? A mustache. I think it'd be too light, but I've always wanted one.
I think it is hilarious for you to ask me if you could do something that is on your twin brother. Like you can tell what it's going to look like.
Looking at you books, I'm like, oh, I don't have facial hair.
I don't think
hair.
It would look right for you, Connor. I think you've got the,
you
got your
look
figured out.
Though. Mm-hmm. It's like very like high level. I don't want to say twink. Cause people get pissed off with the word twink. I've noticed lately, but like twunk.
Ooh, I'll take it.
We all jokingly call Connor a twink in our gay friend group. So it's this is the prophecy is all happening. You gotta be ready for your house kitchen return, Connor.
I know.
Ooh. Wait,
Anthony, I'm thinking about, because you were saying you were sobbing watching Shoshana and you're like, oh my God, I want to do this for other people. And then cut to you in Hamilton, where I'm sure people were sobbing watching, spoiler, your character die. Oh my
both
God.
Characters die. Both.
All of my characters ever die.
ever. Oh my God. Can we talk about the Hamilton of it all?
That is one of those things that's like, that is a gag. Like, how the fuckity fuck did I end up in that show? Fuck. I mean, like, that is a Broadway debut you could only write as a fantasy novel, personally. Thing. I'm the favorite character. Like, you walk into that show and you're like, kind of, that's the dude you want to like be friends with and you want to like hang out with. Mm-hmm. And that fucking show is, I mean, I've been lucky that I'm like, I've been on stage with Tony Award winner James Merle Iglehart. Like, mm-hmm. Manny Gonzalez has like scolded me for being late to something. Like, the list is so, like, the people that have been involved in that, people that have like been around because of that show is crazy. I mean, I will never have a Broadway experience like that. I don't know if I want to have another Broadway experience like that.
Yeah.
It was insane.
So you finished that up at the end of 2019, right?
Yeah, December, yeah.
Okay. And you replaced Jordan Fisher.
I replaced Jordan Fisher.
Yeah. That's just so crazy. And who was your Hamilton? Was Austin Scott a part of the show when you were in it?
I started with Javi, and then, but Javi was injured, so it was like a lot of Javon and Donald. And then I had Michael Lavoie, and then I had Austin.
Okay, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I also had John Rua. I love Austin. Yeah, Austin is a sweetheart. I gave him a hard time. I made his job harder. Like, I till this day, I'm like, I think that I owe that man an apology.
He was so young. He was so young as Hamilton.
He was, I'm almost 32 years old, and he's like 27. Mm-hmm.
It was like, I was like,
you're playing my dad. Like, even my mom was younger than me. Like, at some point it was like Elizabeth Judd and Austin. And I was like, great. My parents literally have been alive for 3 years less than me. This is impossible.
Suspension of disbelief, baby.
Look, there you go. Yeah, I made Austin's job. I definitely was like, Austin, you're hiding this mark. He's like, this guy is crazy. But
that's
I was
how
like,
you learn on Broadway, right?
Well, I guess so. Like, I mean, I was never directly. I mean, I don't know. You gotta ask him. But I don't think I was ever directly mean to him. But I definitely was like, it was always so hard to adjust to new Hamiltons because my show is wrapped around Hamiltons and. Whoever's playing Hamilton, whoever's playing Eliza.
Eliza, yeah.
Whoever's playing those two, like, they really affect my show. So when he joined, it was like a whole different experience. Like, Michael Lavoie is, that character work is so specific and it's so, I want to use the word labored as a positive word, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
He's just like heavier. And Michael Lavoie is younger than me too, but he just feels like an older man. So, and every time I adjusted to somebody, it was like always this like period of like a few months of me being like, what the fuck are they doing? And then being like, oh, the show works no matter what, as long as you kind of just like go on the ride with whoever's leading it.
Oh, yeah.
But I love me some Austin. Austin and I had some really hilarious times and he was really sweet. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Speaking of the Hamilton and whether it be John, I think we'll stick with the John Lawrence connection here. There's this rumor that's like, you know, very much fan debated that they are lovers or were lovers in a way.
I have heard that so many times. There's like, I finally figured out what Lambs was. You know what that was? That's like Lawrence Hamilton love. They were know, all those like, what are they called? Like fan fictions, but like the sexual fan fiction.
Shipping.
No, isn't it called slash when it's like graphic?
I can't speak. I can only speak from my One Direction fan fiction days. And we called it shipping or ships, but you know.
Okay. Yeah, I had a lot of people explain to me that was the case. But the only reason why me and Javi played with it for sure. Like the idea of that and how we approach the characters. And then me and Austin sort of did. It was like very unconscious. But like me and Javon, it was like they are bottoming for each other. It's confusing. Which is so funny because Javon is very much so a straight man. But that was like the way we decided to play it. I love it for him. but there was a descendant of John Lawrence came to the show, and she was like, she came on stage afterwards. She talked to somebody at the stage door, and she was telling me that she has letters from them that, like, it was never explicit that they were, you know, fucking or involved, but the vocabulary that was used based on the time period, like, you didn't talk like that to another male, especially a male that was like, I mean, unless you were screwing them, you weren't talking to them like that. So
yeah.
I was like, that's the vibe for me. And also, like, give me this, like, subtext, like, gay story in, like, the middle of this very masculine straight musical.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm not the bottom. Hamilton's the bottom. That's the deal.
I noticed it too after, because, you know, it's one of those shows you have to listen to a couple of times to fully, like, I mean, I still learn things anytime I watch it or listen to it, but literally says, Lawrence, I like you a lot. Like, he's like describing everyone else, and that's like the signifier for him. It's interesting.
And also, it's funny that that is what he says about him, and he says all these other things about everybody else. I'm like, uh-huh. I like you a lot. I'm like, girl, you're talking about my butt. What's going on?
I know. Lynn is a sneaky one. Did you get to interact with him at all through your process?
Really rarely. That is a busy man.
He's like a really movie nice. Star. And yeah.
A couple of movies. Like, at one point he came backstage, I remember, with his doc materials. He like came backstage with like a script is usually like in a binder. Like, this was like in this like lock box binder, black. I was like, you look so official right now. And also like in sweatpants and like a fitted hat, like very messy, but like this like very important document. But Lynn is A, so freakishly nice. B, like, gave me my job, so I can never say anything mean about him. Mm-hmm. And like, anytime he showed up, like, I got one note from him in 3 years, and it was, I was going to say, why so serious? But I think it was something along those lines, but not that phrasing.
But how interesting. That is so fascinating to me. He can casually just give a note. I mean, it's so wild. Like, I wonder if he gave notes to the original cast too, like when he was performing alongside them.
I mean, maybe. I always wonder, like, because he has the ear of the people that are actually making decisions, if he like did it, like he went to like Tommy and was like, Tommy, this needs to be changed. Fix this.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, for me, he literally gave the note through somebody else. Like, he gave the note to, I think, our associate, and was like, our associate came up to me and was like, hey, it was that he wanted me to stop moving in the John Lawrence desk and to smile. And I was like, smile? I'm dying. What the fuck? This is the end of my life. He's like, no, it's like, it's got to be rejoiceful. Like, I understand the impotence to like be serious. However, like, be from like the heavens. And I was like, bitch, I'm from the heavens. Let's go. And Lin Miranda. I mean, and it was like, I played Usnavi. I'm like, you're giving me too much, dude. Like,
I know. Yeah. So is that how you came on his radar, or did he see that production at Theater Under the Stars?
I don't think so. I mean, I would love to see it. I don't know what the fuck happened. I had been auditioning for Hamilton since the mixtape. It was, I was like, I'm in that small group of people in New York. It's probably a lot bigger now, but that was doing a lot of hip hop theater. So I was doing a lot of the like off Broadway musicals that were like rap based or just hip hop in general. And me and Ramos and like, I want to say like two or three other like young Latin guys, we kind of were like the ones to pick from if you were like finding someone in that type. But I think, I don't know Anthony's history with Lynn. I think that they had already had work together and had experienced each other. Me and Lynn had never met. I was just literally, he was just across the table at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, give Ramos the job. Like, at this point, like, he deserves it. He's been around you. Like, I'm from Yonkers. He's from the Bronx or Brooklyn. We're like two, we're one and the same. I'm just the gay version of him. And honestly,
you kind of are.
I like this type. Yeah.
Oh my God, Anthony, I feel like we could talk to you forever, but we are sadly coming to the end here, and we like to wrap up. I know, can you believe?
I know.
I'm like, what is going on? But we like to end on a dose of drama. We could rant about something, rave about something, share a little pop culture, behind the scenes tidbit, spill some tea. You've spilled so much tea. Your cup runneth over and I'm gagged.
I'm drenched. I don't know what's going on.
Wait, before we get to dose of drama, how did you meet your boyfriend, Terrence?
He's my murderer. He was George Eaker on the show.
Oh my God.
So I will tell the fun version of it, the full version that's fun. I was in Amsterdam with my brother. I hope my mom never listens to this. I did shrooms. And
as one does, like, in the red light district of
you know, it just seemed like an appropriate time. You know, regulated and like, you know. But my I went with my brother and one of my brothers, and I had decided, I was like, everything else seems to be working out in my life. I'd already dated someone in the show. I did not want to do that again, but I was like, I want to find the man. That was Sunday in Amsterdam. Tuesday in New York, Terrence was on stage. And Joanna Jones was like, this is your man. You need to meet him. I was like, I'm not dating in the show again. So for a month, he tried so hard. He was like every possible way he could get to like hang out with me or like flirt with me, he tried it. And I was like, I've literally sat on this table where we're eating. There's no way I can do that again. And I mean, take one birthday / going away party for four people and 5 to 9 drinks, and we start making out. And we've literally been next to each other ever since. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I love my life.
Oh my
God. He's so handsome. You guys are so cute together. Like
thank you.
Everyone
yes,
needs to follow you on Instagram, like no matter what, because there are so many cute pictures of the two of you. Just live it. You can just see the happiness radiating from the pictures.
He's a lucky find for me, because I mean, we can spill a lot of tea about the exes that exist in this community. So, but we'll pass on that.
Yes. Next time off when we're not recording.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let me think. Dylan, do you have a dose of drama this week?
I do. And it was going to originally be about how I can be in stage door experiences / was like when I was a kid. I'd just be like, hi, like you're so good. You riffed really good and touch me. Like, I feel like that's probably what I said to Anthony. But it's actually about one of your credits. King of Staten Island.
Oh.
Because I have a problematic crush on Pete Davidson.
It's not problematic.
Okay, I was going to say, is it weird?
No, he is so wonderful. I don't know. I mean, the version that exists of him in, like, the public eye is one thing, and I can't say I know him. I'm not, like, we didn't have, like, some, like, big party night. We spent one day on set together where he was literally just like, no, talk about your MMA fighting, and then you did a diarrhea, like, just screaming nonsense. But in that process, like, I will say I've worked on a lot of things, and I have had very few experiences where I would say that the people that make all the choices and the decisions I would want to hang out with. And he was like, I was like, oh, I would want to like hang out, like get a drink and like smoke a J and like figure out why you keep breaking up with all these girls and removing your tattoos. Let's talk about it.
I know, right? Okay, good. I feel vindicated in my crush. It's been even long before Ariana Grande, like even long before she revealed the intimate details about him. I have always sort of just thought he's so, like, he's funny. And I love when he breaks a little bit on SNL and he's just like smiling through it all. Okay. I feel comfortable in admitting that.
Puffy eyes.
Uh-huh. Always.
You guys are making a case for Pete Davidson here. I'm listening, but...
I'm just saying he is really funny. He was really nice to me, and I can only assume he's extremely fine without clothes. So
yeah,
the case has been made.
Oh my God. Okay. Here's my dose of drama. I mentioned this on one of our Patreon episodes, which is a perfect plug for our bonus content platform. We're on Patreon, $5 a month. You get like 4 or 5 bonus episodes, access to our close friends on Instagram. Fun as hell. Anyway, I talked about this, but I finally read Patti LuPone's memoir, and it is unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's hearing her side of the story is just beyond. She is the coolest. She is so honest with her mistakes, her downfalls, her failed relationships, her successful relationships. She is the moment, and I'm so gagged. I cannot wait to see her in Company when Broadway is back. I mean, I already did see her once, but... see her again, because she's just the best. She's the best. Everybody needs to read it.
You saw her in Company?
We did. We saw a preview literally the week before.
I think it had like maybe a week of previews.
I'm gagged.
Yeah, it was like literally the week. There was a moment where there was like a technical difficulty. I was like, oh, this is the previews. We're here. We're, you know. Because, you know, you hear these stories about like the 9-to-5 set shutting down and then Dolly goes out and sings for the audience or, you know, stories like that. But... did Sarah Bareilles ever do that at Waitress? I feel like that would have been something. She did.
Yeah, I think one of the first couple nights, there was something that went wrong, and because Kimiko was in it, so we've talked about it before.
Of course.
She did like a mini concert. She did like some of her favorites and then some songs on the show. And like finally the curtain went up. What a gag.
God, I know that. Oh my goodness. She's like one of my faves. I cannot wait to see what she does next as far as theater, music. And
yeah.
Oh, I was going to say she had an Apple TV Plus show where she wrote the music called Little Voice.
And she has another show coming out. She is the lead of the show with Daniel Breaker of Hamilton fame.
Yes.
It's about this. And I think it's and Renee Elise Goldsberry's in it. And
Busy Phillips.
And Busy Phillips is in it. Yeah. It's about this like girl group and that like as guests is retired and they're coming back. And the only thing I know about is Daniel Breaker plays Sarah Bareilles' very nerdy husband, which knowing Daniel Breaker, I'm really excited to see what the fuck that means.
He is so unbelievably talented. I will watch him do anything.
Daniel is, if you ever, ever get the opportunity to just like spend any time with him, he is the best by far. Like I want to model my human after his human. Mm. He is. Like after the show, sorry, I'm avoiding drama conversation because I don't know what to talk about. But after the show, we would.
You have.
Like, oh God, I don't know. he's a chef, like a professional chef. So literally, after shows, like the show would come down and we would go to his dressing room and he'd have like this, like a Negroni and then like in a like a specialty lavender ice that he had created, and then like he'd be passing around like these like. Tuna tartare tacos with like truffle oil. And we're like, what the fuck is this? And like a comedy routine and like has the most amazing children. I'm like, oh, he's so annoying.
Oh my God.
I hate him.
No, that's so inspiring to hear too, that he's the nicest guy. Cause you always wonder about big stars and.
Oh, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'm not going to shade anyone. There have been some people that I've literally been like so excited to work with. And then I start working with them. I'm like,
yeah.
The fuck? Why are you, oh, you forgot that you're a person and then you should have respect for other humans and you can be friendly and it will still do the same thing you're doing now, except for I'll smile at you instead of look at you like you crazy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Daniel's the nicest. But also like, if you're wrong and if you are like, if he needs to shade you, he doesn't even think twice. It just comes out of his mouth and he's like, well, that's because you're an idiot, right? And you're like... Bitch, what?
Oh my God, I'm so sensitive. I would never survive being an actor, ever. Ever.
You cannot be sensitive. It's hard.
We struggle enough when people say no to coming on the podcast. We're like, we're failures.
Girl, I got told no 3 times yesterday. I've been failing all evening.
Listen, well, we're so glad that you said yes to us because this has been so fun. You don't have to say a dose of drama because you gave us so much. Like, truly... This was so much fun. My cheeks literally hurt from smiling. You are so charming and fun. And I really hope that beyond all this, we can hang out and hear some of those other stories.
Yes, please. Come out to LA. I need some LA friends. So
yes. God. Do you think you'll go back to New York?
Okay. I definitely want to go back to New York. I'm born and raised. So I'm like, that's my home. But as far as like doing theater, I think that was enough. I'm tired. I literally said to most people, cause people ask me that all the time. I'm like, I don't like doing Hamilton for 3 years is amazing, but a turnoff to doing theater. Mm. That is, I died 16 times a week. No one wants to die that much. That is exhausting. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stairs and yeah, give me a play where like my character is, you know, doesn't leave a chair because he's too wasted. Sounds great.
I'm sure
the Iceman cometh. I think all the characters are just sitting around drunk the whole time and the Iceman cometh.
Perfect.
So, there you go.
Iceman cometh indeed.
Well, everyone needs to follow Anthony on, is it Twitter and Instagram, the same handle?
Yeah.
Ant Lee me 123.
It rhymes.
That's cute.
Easier to remind people.
Yeah.
You also have one of the biggest flexes ever that you only follow like a handful of people on Instagram.
There's two reasons. Number one, I got to the point where I was during the pandemic, because the pandemic, like we're all like all day long. And I started to notice like no one's posting anything real and just like throwbacks or like, you know, wishing they were somewhere else or like a picture of them in their mask. I'm like, okay. And to be honest, like, I found it really annoying to like see someone that I knew but didn't really know well, and then know everything about them, so I didn't know what to ask them for as questions. Like, I felt so disingenuous. So that was my first reason why. But then, I don't know if you know Janelle McDermott. She's a Broadway gal. She was like, you always know someone's about to pop off when they unfollow everyone. And I was like, I'm going to pop off. Unfollow.
I love it.
I will say, it's really nice to only see my parents and my siblings and my boyfriend's posts show up on my feed every day. There's literally nothing else. And then my Discover is just like naked men and recipes. So it's a great Instagram experience.
That's what my Discover is too.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Anthony Lee Medina, all those years ago, I only could have wished at 15 years old that we'd be chatting with you. So thank you so much. I know. This has been truly such a delight.
Yes.
I can't speak highly enough about you. And I hope that everyone follows you. Everyone needs to follow us at The Drama Podcast. But don't
likewise,
worry, Anthony, I know you're not going to follow because, you know.
I'll follow you. Look, on Twitter, I got everybody. Pulling
them there you go. There you go. There you
yes.
go.
I want to hear what you got to say. I don't need to see your faces, though, bitches. Y'all crazy.
And then, of course, I'm at Dylan McDowell and Connor is at Connor McDowell. And Connor, we will see you next time.
Drama.